Bonjour! How's everybody doing out there? We hope you're doing well. We hope you enjoyed our royalty-free theme song. You may have heard it before. My name is Matthew Ederer, and this is the AEW Dynamite Deep Dive. Today we will be discussing Dynamite number 191, May 31st, 2023, live from the Viejas Arena in San Diego, California. So I'm flying solo on this podcast. I think after pay-per-views, I'm either going to go solo or possibly be with the tag team partner, Boris Aguilar. It's going to be a state of the AEW address, state of the union kind of affair here after pay-per-views. Keep it very simple, to the point, not really drone on so much, but I feel like we must talk about where AEW is. And I hate to start it off with a terrible cliche, but here we go. The following is my ninth grade essay on the state of AEW, June 1st, 2023. The Oxford English Dictionary defines strife as angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues, semicolon, conflict. Strife within the community is the example they give, and strife finds a way. Introducing CM Punk, who I will editorialize now and say is one of my favorite performers ever in pro wrestling. A man who I personally want to see on my wrestling shows every single week is CM Punk. But introducing this man back into AEW is, at this moment, inarguably choosing violence, choosing chaos, and is introducing a great deal of strife into AEW in June of 2023 anyway. And the question is quite simple. Is this worth it? The answer is also very simple. It entirely depends on how well you think AEW is doing right now. If you think AEW is killing it and firing on all cylinders, then no. It is absolutely, indisputably not the right thing to do to bring CM Punk back. But if you think AEW has stumbled a little bit lately, or in the year since he's been gone, and if you think with WWE being so hot right now, AEW kind of needs a shot in the arm to revitalize it a little bit, then even if you strongly dislike CM Punk and his work, I think you've got to say, well, it's time to roll the dice a little bit here. I think even the most diehard AEW fan, the most diehard Tony Khan stan, the craziest well-wisher and supporter of AEW, even they would agree that AEW needs a little shot in the arm right now. I think even the most ardent supporter would agree that AEW needs something. And CM Punk is right there in case of emergency break glass. So I do strongly disagree with the idea that bringing Punk back is bad. My big worry with the CM Punk business, and it's something I haven't seen many people talk about, is they are totally half pregnant with this thing. Much like the AEW All Access TV show, where there is precisely one backstage story in AEW that anybody cares about, which they refuse to address, now we're in a position where CM Punk is coming back to AEW to ignore the only feud that people care about, Punk versus the Elite. Apparently, if rumors are true, he is going to feud with Chris Jericho and Jericho's cronies, the Jericho Appreciation Society, 4 months upon returning. So we're not going to get Punk versus the Elite. We are going to manufacture and force a feud against the Jericho group instead. So when Punk first came back, 2021, I and many fans of my ilk had stars in my eyes. I couldn't wait to see Punk versus the Young Guys, largely all the time delivered and was awesome. I couldn't wait to see Punk versus MJF, which was awesome. Couldn't wait to see Punk versus Eddie Kingston, which was awesome. This is all very good stuff. I could see a world where CM Punk's presence was helping to elevate both AEW and the individual characters who comprise the AEW roster, and I kind of think it was happening. There was a distinct hope for the future with CM Punk around. I think it was purposefully cultivated by CM Punk, obviously by Tony Khan and the booking too, and that's why CM Punk took it so personally, I believe, when Hangman Page, quote, turned on him and did the whole thing that led to all this nonsense, right? So even if none of that nonsense had happened, which it did, and obviously hangs over all of these proceedings, even if CM Punk just left because of injury, I think it would be a tremendous mistake to put him against the Jericho Appreciation Society in June of 2023. Just because of the rumors of Jericho, and only because of that, this is no longer a happy return for this huge CM Punk fan. At least from my perspective, there is no excitement. There's not even real hope for the future with the CM Punk return now. If the rumors are to be believed, and CM Punk will, with FTR, be feuding against the Jericho Appreciation Society all fall, this instantly lowers Punk to the level of just another guy in AEW. Jericho's match on the pay-per-view was just second on the card. If you're going to bring CM Punk back at all, you might as well shoot for the moon with him. Chris Jericho versus CM Punk is not shooting for the moon with this man. I understand if legally Punk and the Bucks and Kenny cannot or will not work together at this juncture. I will editorialize again and say, personally, I believe that's fucking pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. It's high school drama. It's bullshit. You're talking about 40-year-old men here. It is truly sad and embarrassing. Embarrassing for all parties involved if they can't work together. And every single day that Punk is back not working against Hangman, Kenny, or the Bucks, I personally will think less of every single person involved in that, including and especially Tony Khan. Maybe not Kenny Omega. Again, I really don't feel like Kenny Omega deserves or should incur any blame for any of this. CM Punk obviously deserves his fair share, as does, in my opinion, the Young Bucks and Hangman. A smaller share of the blame. But anyway, the whole blame game, the whole legality, all of it. I understand if Punk can't immediately or won't immediately work with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page, the Elite. I'm not even saying you have to do that, although I am saying personally, I think it's absolutely fucking pathetic and laugh out loud grotesque that you won't. Grow up, guys. Anyway, though it's completely stupid and pathetic and fucking embarrassing, truly, to the company and to every person involved that they won't work together, I accept that they won't work together. You're telling me that the best thing you can come up with is sticking him against Jericho? Really? That's bad. Almost as pathetic as not being able to work together in the first place, the CM Punk and the Elite. I just think that just lazy booking beyond extreme, just a true lack of creativity, and you're basically doing the one thing that nobody, even the biggest fan of Chris Jericho and or CM Punk, could possibly want to see. Just a lack of creativity. For example, I consider myself a creative person, something of an idea man. Here are 10 better ideas off the top of my head of things to do with CM Punk. You ready? Boom. Number one, the Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, before he turns heel, get one last kind of divisive babyface slash heelish push out of Jungle Boy. He can come up, stand for the California Mafia, as it's been described. I think he's an interesting way to kind of dip your toes in the CM Punk versus the other side grouping without actually saying or mentioning or bringing in any of the Elite at all. Also, it would help elevate a young wrestler, Jack Perry, and it would help show CM Punk can work with the other side a little bit. I think that's a brilliant, perfect thing, both behind the camera and on camera. I'm sure they absolutely won't even think about it or come near it at all. Two, Wardlow. How about this? Wardlow comes out if you want CM Punk to be a babyface. Wardlow turns heel on CM Punk, says, hey, Punk, your fucking petty bullshit actually ruined my career in a roundabout way, and I'm fucking upset at you. We had a match once. I was murdering you, and MJF dropped the ball. I know that I could end this CM Punk problem pretty damn quick. Wrestle me, you coward. You ruined my career. Boom. I already want to see that significantly more than Chris Jericho doing whatever versus CM Punk. Number three, Switchblade Jay White. 6 months ago, Switchblade Jay White was the fucking biggest star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. What are we doing, guys? He was main eventing the Tokyo Dome. Now he's getting thrown out in the middle of a first match battle royal. This is absurd, and it's malpractice to use the Switchblade like this. CM Punk versus Switchblade Jay White. Can CM Punk hang with a real New Japan star. Perhaps Switchblade cuts a promo on CM Punk talking about his first pipe bomb back in 2011, name-dropping New Japan, scoffing at him as if you could ever fucking hang with me in New Japan. I was New Japan, now I am AEW. And boom, Switchblade, Jay White versus CM Punk, significantly more interesting than the Jericho nonsense. Number four, rather than babyface CM Punk versus Jericho, why don't we do babyface Adam Cole, the person who just vanquished Jericho, versus a heel CM Punk? Why not bring CM Punk back as a heel? I know you're not going to do that. I know that Tony Khan was really still convinced that this crowd will cheer CM Punk, but I don't know. I think at best you're getting a John Cena-style character for CM Punk, and maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's what they'll go with. Maybe he'll be that tweener that gets a lot of boos and a lot of cheers, and they will embrace that. If that's the case, Adam Cole versus CM Punk makes a lot more sense. It is interesting. It is fresh, something we haven't seen before, and it is Punk ostensibly lifting up another young wrestler, although if you want to say Adam Cole is not a young wrestler at this point, I understand. It's a guy who needs to be elevated up the AEW card. So that's four. How about this? Orange Cassidy, first episode of Collision in Chicago. You don't announce CM Punk. You do the whole, you know, best kept secret, worst kept secret in wrestling situation like you did the first time. Everyone knows that Punk will show up to the United Center. Orange Cassidy, open challenge on AEW Collision. CM Punk beats Orange Cassidy for the AEW International title. And then you have CM Punk as your John Cena figure or whatever you want. Just that would be so much interesting, so much more interesting, so much cooler, so much fresher, CM Punk versus Orange Cassidy for the International title than would CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. I keep saying it and it sits worse in my mouth every time. Number six, it's a match we've seen before, but let's do it again. CM Punk versus Powerhouse Will Hobbs. You remember him? I barely do. That guy's on the fucking side of a milk carton right now. What has happened to Powerhouse Hobbs? Where is Powerhouse Hobbs? Malpractice, Tony Khan. I am on the record saying Tony Khan has saved pro wrestling. I appreciate his contributions. I'm not just doing a Jim Cornette thing. It pisses you off when you watch the show and your favorites disappear for months on end. So there's five. How about this? CM Punk versus Facción Ingobernable. Don't you want to see Rush beat the shit out of this man? Rush would hit CM Punk harder than Mickey Gall or Mike Jackson ever tried to. Like, I'm telling you, like, you want CM Punk to, quote, pay for what he has done? Put him in the fucking ring with Rush. That guy will run a goddamn hole through him like he's a Bugs Bunny cartoon. All right, so that's seven so far. Jungle Boy, Wardlow, Switchblade, Adam Cole, Orange Cassidy, Powerhouse Hobbs, Rush, and the whole Facción. You could even work in cronies and stuff and get to 10 right there, but I can keep going. How about Mark effing Briscoe? What about that? You want CM Punk to be a heel and a strong heel? Put him against Mark Briscoe and use that as Mark Briscoe's gateway to the main event, because I feel like one of many gold mines that Tony Khan is inexcusably sitting on is the gold mine that is Mark Briscoe. He chooses to underutilize Mark Briscoe as poorly as anybody on the roster, and I think there's just an explosion waiting to happen for young Mark Briscoe. He could easily be the man who saves the AEW title from Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He could easily act as the conscience of AEW and the professional wrestling business in general. That's kind of how he should be, you know, positioned right now. Instead, he's a referee in a Jeff Jarrett match. Okay, that's fine. Mark Briscoe versus CM Punk, with CM Punk as the heel and Mark Briscoe as the conscience of professional wrestling, could be an incredible, brilliant, awesome feud. And the work that those two performers can do within that feud could be truly great special television. I'm sure they will never do it or think about it. In a similar vein, less so on the microphone, but I think someone who could kind of play a similar character, just in terms of being a heart and soul type in AEW, a type who has been passed over and looked over so many times. What about Pac v. Punk? What about Pac standing up for the hard workers of AEW, standing up for the working class of AEW, who the heel CM Punk has kind of steamrolled over? What about something like that? So Pac versus Punk could be a very interesting feud, could be a good use of something, someone, Pac, who has been drastically underutilized his entire AEW run, who disappears for months at a time with no explanation given, possibly injury, possibly visa issues, who knows? We need Pac back on our television. Pac v. Punk, give that to me 100 times over Jericho versus Punk. And 10, how about this? If you are insistent on CM Punk being a good guy versus a group of old ass men and some weird flunkies and cronies, guess what? You can do better than Punk versus Jericho. What about Punk versus Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and that whole group? What about Punk having Satnam Singh's first match and trying to teach the big man to do a thing or two in the wrestling ring? CM Punk versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal's crew. Though you run into the same problems you do with Punk versus Jericho, it's infinitely more interesting because we didn't already see Punk and Jericho have a long feud that was kind of disappointing in WWE. So anyway, I'm 15 minutes into this podcast. I haven't even mentioned Dynamite once, but we had to start off by addressing a couple elephants in the room. I think that CM Punk's return setting up on this pretty lame path that it looks like we're going down is part and parcel of all of the problems in AEW. Too much reliance on the same guys over and over, a complete and total lack of creativity, and just an inability to pivot from a long-term plan. Once Tony Khan gets an idea, it is set in stone, and it does not appear that any force of will or nature will change those plans. So I'm sure we're going to get Punk versus Jericho, and then Punk versus MJF, with MJF threatening to steal the world title. And it might even be CM Punk who saves the world title from MJF, wins it back as a babyface. That certainly seems to be the path that we're going on. To me, that feels like the single least interesting use of CM Punk possible on this planet. But hey, I don't know. I guess there's no point in a 20-minute rant about something I haven't seen yet. We will look back on this and see if I'm correct or just a shouting crazy man. Hey, let's talk about Dynamite now, friends. Once again, to remind you, we are discussing AEW Dynamite number 191, May 31st, 2023, live from the Viejas Arena in San Diego, California, United States of America. I would probably say this is one of the worst Dynamites of all time. The least good Dynamite that I have covered yet of the five editions on the podcast so far. But Dynamite is pizza. It's always okay. I'll always watch a Dynamite. Comparatively to some of the other wrestling shows we've seen, Dynamite kicks ass. I'd rather watch the worst of Dynamite than the best Shotgun Saturday Night or something, you know what I mean? But no, this was a bad one. This was a puzzling card with really only one thing that I say you must see as a wrestling fan. We'll get to it. Still a good show. Still a fun slice of pizza on your Wednesday evening. Our show opens with Excalibur Taz, Tony Schiavone, and Bryan Danielson at the commentary booth for a trios match. The remaining members of the Blackpool Combat Club, Moxley, Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus the Lucha Bros, Penta Oscuro, and Rey Fénix, and Bandido wearing the worst gear I've ever seen. I don't even know what he looked like. He looked like the Noid or something. It was a terrible look for Bandido, who is an excellent wrestler, and this was a great wrestling match, unsurprisingly, to start Dynamite. Your typical hot action to start this one. We get to the picture-in-picture commercial break with a spiked pile driver, John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli spiking Bandido onto the ground with a spike pile driver. It's kind of funny. That could easily be an injury angle, but it was just the heat to get to commercial break. But that's fine. That's wrestling in 2023. Spectacular move in a spectacular match. The finish to this match came when Bandido did recover. He was doing his thing. He had Wheeler Yuta set up for the 21-plex, but John Moxley holds on to Wheeler Yuta in the ropes, saving him from the move. Claudio Castagnoli flies in with a huge European uppercut, absolutely raffle-coptering this man, leading to Yuta hitting a running knee, and then the hammer and anvil elbows. He laying those elbows in, looking really good. Possibly the best elbows in the entire Blackpool Combat Club. And then he pins Bandido with the seat belt to win this match. Really good stuff. In 11 minutes even, 11 minutes 0 seconds, according to cagematch.net. So for this one, I would go as high as 4 stars, 4 out of 5. Let's go 4 Brian Dixons out of 5 for this one. Rest in peace, Brian Dixon. And yeah, this was a good match, a great match to start your Dynamite show. I would say safely the best match on our program this evening. And like a highlight for sure. If you want to see one wrestling match from Dynamite, check out this opener. This trio's Blackpool Combat Club versus Lucha Brothers and Bandido. Backstage promo. Alex Marvez is with the Young Bucks and the Hangman, Adam Page. Matt Jackson says that the Blackpool Combat Club brings out the worst in them, and he'd never thought that he'd see the day he tried to explode someone's face with a sneaker. Me neither, Matt, but you know, I loved the exploding super kick spot. Adam Page said they are still here, they're still swinging, and while BCC relies on the numbers game, they will be united once more. Then Evil Uno and the Dark Order come in, and they just act bitchy. They're just like, oh, you're hanging out with your new friends, or okay. So that was just whiny and loathsome behavior from the Evil Uno and crew there, the Dark Order. Alex Marvez asks Adam Page specifically what his thoughts are on Kenny Omega going back to Canada to recuperate. And Hangman Page said Omega is out of the country, but he's not in Canada. Oh, what does that mean? Well, presumably it means that he is in Japan going to New Japan Dominion, which is Sunday morning / Saturday night. That is technically June 4th, Sunday morning. Twill be an excellent show, and expect Kenny Omega to be there. Tony Schiavone in the ring to introduce the Switchblade, Jay White and Juice Robinson, for an in-ring promo here from Bullet Club Gold. I really like this. Jay White and Juice Robinson doing a lot to impress. I did my rant about Jay White, but I'm glad to see him on AEW television every week at this point. He's always doing good work, and he's the type of guy who the more you see him, the more you realize just how brilliant this guy is. So Tony Schiavone, Jay White, and Juice Robinson, the Bullet Club Gold, are running down your tag team champions, FTR. This, of course, brings out Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, the tag team champions, FTR, fuck the Revival. They come out. Of course, the cocky Bullet Club heels assume that these guys are here to join Bullet Club Gold. The Switchblade goes to hand Dax the microphone, but pulls the old whoopsie doodle, drops the microphone, and when Dax Harwood goes to pick it up, Juice Robinson punches him in the face with a roll of quarters. Quarters going flying everywhere. Hits his DDT finisher on old Dax Harwood, while Jay White lays out Cash Wheeler with the Blade Runner, and Ricky Starks runs out to make the save, but the Bullet Club bail. So the Bullet Club Gold maybe are the next challengers for FTR's tag team titles? I'm into that. Are we going to get Switchblade versus CM Punk after all? Please, let's do that. Give me Switchblade in this group versus Punk and FTR 1 trillion times over Jericho. Please, 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 Tony Khan. Anyway, a good promo here from the Bullet Club Gold, setting up FTR versus the Switchblade and Rock Hard Juice Robinson. Thumbs up on this one. We are then graced by Tony Khan, another Tony Khan appearance. He's becoming a regular here on AEW television. Almost every week he makes an announcement. This week's announcement is that CM Punk will indeed be on AEW Collision's first show, June 17th, from Chicago, Illinois. United States of America. Loud cheers, some boos for CM Punk. It looks like already CM Punk is the John Cena of AEW. The mixed reactions for this man. Next up, match number two of the evening, a triple threat attraction, unofficially a number one contenders match for the International Championship, Swerve Strickland versus Big Bill, formerly Big Cass, versus Trent Beretta, question mark. So the best friends, whatever the firm is now, and the Mogul Embassy all represented here in this triple threat. I thought this was another great match, I would say. Big Bill is impressing me a lot in the ring. He's really taking the small bit that AEW has given him and doing everything he can with it. So I love to see Big Bill. He's a real success story, a real comeback story, someone you can get behind in professional wrestling. Good on you, Big Billiam. We're cheering for you here on the AEW 3D podcast. I think Trent Beretta is one of the most underrated wrestlers in all of professional wrestling. This guy is great in the ring. And Swerve Strickland's one of my favorites. One of the rare cool wrestlers. Actually, real life cool. You don't get that much in pro wrestling these days. Really cool spot here. We saw a sick double superplex. Big Bill eating a double superplex from Swerve and Trent. Trent then destroys Swerve Strickland with a half and half suplex and runs into a massive big boss man slam. Abyss style, boss man slam from Big Billiam. Another spot I like that Big Cass has been doing is a choke slam from an opponent on the apron into the ring. So I like that. It's an apron bump, but not really. You know, it's an apron bump into the ring, somewhat safer. And that was the finish of this match, actually. So Big Bill choke slams Trent Beretta from the apron into the ring while on the apron then. Swerve Strickland hits what was supposed to be a double stomp on Bill, but was really a Daniel Bryan style shotgun dropkick from the top rope onto the apron. Kind of looked like it hurt Swerve more than Bill, although he did kick Bill pretty hard. That was a bad landing for both men, but Strickland gets up, scurries, swerves into the ring, you might say, and pins Trent Beretta for the W, for the win. Let's consult cagematch.net. 8 minutes and 54 seconds, they say, for this one. I thought this was another really, really solid wrestling match. Swerve Scott, very talented. All three guys, extremely talented. They delivered. It wasn't great, but very, very good. We are going to go, 3.5 out of 5. Solid B in Canada. 3.5 hit rows out of 5. Remember when Swerve was the leader of hit row? I think it's going better for him than it is for them. Brief video package, kind of highlighting the awesome YouTube video that AEW has produced for Chris Statlander's Road to Recovery. So if you haven't seen this, you must. This is a promo of the week for sure. And some of the best video package, the best HBO, the best UFC style work AEW has ever done, honestly. It's like a 15-minute video at the start of the AEW Control Center or the Road to San Diego, perhaps. One of those YouTube videos. They really go deep on this Chris Statlander Road to Recovery gimmick. They showed us a couple minutes of this, and even this was the highlight of AEW Dynamite this week. So yeah, if you watch anything, any AEW content at all this week, please, I implore you, go watch Chris Statlander's Road to Recovery as shown on the YouTube. I believe the Road to San Diego. It's the longer one. You'll see it on YouTube. It's really fantastically done. Truly impossible not to be cheering for Chris Statlander at this moment. You have to have rocks in your heart and ice in your veins. Chris Statlander, a humongous babyface, and we saw her later on in this show. Canadian legend Renee Paquette on the ramp with the acclaimed and father ass Billy Gunn. So they cut a quick promo. Father ass takes the blame like a real leader, like a real coach does. He says he let the acclaimed down. But Max Caster says, no, no, daddy ass. We win together, lose together, and indeed scissor together. He didn't say that. That was an editorial choice by myself. Anthony Bowens, who is somehow becoming a better promo than Max Caster too, gets on the mic. Crowd loves Anthony Bowens, and they should. He's really the heart and soul of this act. He says, everyone loves the acclaimed. Everyone loves daddy ass. And then they scissor, and all is right in the world. The acclaimed are fine. No need to fret. And it was good to just get these guys on television, I guess, cut a promo. Although I will say, And this is where I'm going to do this rant. It's kind of funny. Darby Allin didn't have jack shit to say about being screwed over again and losing to a headlock takeover. Not one word. A lot of people have some real legitimate beefs on this show with how they lost or just general follow-ups that should be occurring. We heard nothing from the Jungle Boy. We heard nothing from Sammy Guevara. We heard nothing from Jade Cargill, which to me is pretty egregious. She was 60-0, and she lost because her manager, her lawyer, sold her out. It wasn't her fault. We gotta have Jade Cargill on the show to say something. 30-60 second backstage promo. But that one's the worst of all. Even if you don't like Jade, she had to do or say something on the show. No Jade Cargill, but we did have the Acclaimed scissoring. So I don't mean to be too dismissive, because it was good that the Acclaimed talked about losing and staying together. But hey, that would have been like my fourth or fifth priority for this. Why not Jade? Why not Darby saying something about being screwed over again by MJF? That's pretty bad, in my opinion. But at least they did it with the Acclaimed. So other than the Chris Statlander thing, which we only saw like 90 seconds of, the real meat and potatoes, the real 15-minute whole shebang, the actual like documentary style, behind-the-scenes Chris Statlander comeback, that's on YouTube. That's the best thing AEW has done this week. But probably the best overall thing, the best real segment on Dynamite was Don Callis and Konosuke Takeshita. So Tony Schiavone is sickened, the bile raises in his throat, to announce Don Callis and Konosuke Takeshita, who come to the ring to a chorus of boos. They get the old Tommaso Ciampa entrance, where he doesn't get music at all. He is just jeered. His entrance is just hatred from the audience. I love it. Great call. Don Callis once again says he is the real victim here, and the level of heat, the level of booing that Don Callis is getting is just off the charts huge. This crowd despises Don Callis, this no good, low down, nefarious, evil motherfucker, to quote Dave Chappelle doing Rick James. I did think you saw this compared to Dominic Mysterio. They call it Dominic Mysterio heat in 2023. And hey, it's accurate. It's true. I do think Don Callis has maybe earned it a little more than Dom. Maybe I'm selling Dominic short. He's doing great work. But this was Don Callis being a real heel and the crowd really, really hating him. It's not a meme. It's not for show. It's not because it's the fun thing to do lately. They turned on this man because he's a nefarious motherfucker. So where Don Callis has lost a nephew in Kenny Omega, he has now gained a son in Konosuke Takeshita, who is not only a better athlete, faster, stronger, younger than Kenny Omega, but he is better than Ricky Dozen, better than Antonio Inoki, better than Maeda, Muto, and Okada, who he said, who is active, by the way, if you remember his name, Okada. He was on Forbidden Door 1, don't you know? Anyway, so he has name-dropped Okada here. Keep that in mind for Takeshita. And Konosuke Takeshita will soon show the world and Kazuchika Okada that he is better than Kenny Omega. So this, if you're paying attention, set up two huge matches for Takeshita down the road. He's going to wrestle Okada, I assume, at Forbidden Door, or some kind of combination, maybe a tag team match that will have Konosuke Takeshita on one side and Kazuchika Okada on the other. And of course, Konosuke versus Kenny. You know that's coming down the line. So Don Callis blamed Kenny Omega for the scar on his forehead, which is abjectly fucking absurd and ridiculous, but he's a heel, that's fine. And Don Callis is going to build a new family around Takeshita, I presume, to eliminate the Elite from all Elite Wrestling. So it looks like Callis and Takeshita are not in the Blackpool Combat Club. That is very clear. They are doing their own thing. And Konosuke, with Callis as his mouthpiece, will be the ace of the group. Backstage, Arn Anderson and Wardlow I guess it was more of a pre-tape highlight video of the ladder match with Wardlow taking 1,000 crazy bumps. Also doing the airplane gorilla press slam onto Christian onto a ladder, which I will remember for the rest of my life. That looked like it really sucked for young Christian Cage. Anyway, Arn Anderson talks about biting the Luchasaurus's thumb off, which was also just fucking insane. That was some crazy Pineapple Express shit. I see, did you rip off a man's thumb? I seen it. Anyway, Arn Anderson talks about biting a human lizard type man's thumb off. Well, Luchasaurus found out not to get involved. And Wardlow says, if you do want to stick your nose into my business one more time, I'll be happy to finish the job. So I guess we are getting Hoss fight Wardlow versus the Luchasaurus sometime soon on Dynamite or perhaps Collision. Next up, a tag team attraction, a team that we're seeing more and more of lately, Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin versus the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. Strange choice. So, like Tony Khan, quite grateful for his contributions. If he didn't save pro wrestling, he at least revitalized it greatly. I worry that sometimes he doesn't think the right things are important, or he puts too much value in the wrong things in his booking. So we know that Orange Cassidy is going to wrestle Swerve Scott. So here Orange Cassidy is in a tag team match against a lower level team that is affiliated, for lack of a better term, with Swerve. He's against Swerve's cronies. He's against the C team of the Mogul affiliates here. The problem is that Darby Allin got mashed into this, and it really makes Darby Allin look horrendous, look like a pushover, for lack of a better term, look like a bitch, to not address getting screwed out of the world championship by Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He had to cut a promo. Maybe the Gates of Agony attack him for some reason. I don't know. Maybe Swerve attacks Darby. I don't know exactly how you get to Orange and Darby. Maybe you do a one-minute backstage pre-tape where Darby says, Max, you did it again, but I'll get you back. Like, he had to do something. He had to address it because he got screwed. It wasn't fair. Maxwell Jacob Friedman didn't do it the right way. He had to use a title belt to and ostensibly cheat, although there were no rules. He didn't do it honorably. Darby Allin has a case to say something, do something. Run over a scarecrow with a picture of Max stapled to it. He's done that before. Fucking Darby had to do something. He just looked like a pushover to get screwed out of the world title and just come out in a tag team match. Ho-hum. Like, God, guys. Anyway, I do worry about Tony Khan not valuing the right things in his booking all the time. Though I do understand why we're getting Orange Cassidy versus dudes in Swerve's crew. This was a good tag team match. Obviously, all four guys are really good. We need to see more of Gates of Agony in professional wrestling. I have no problem with the idea. It's just that Darby needed something more than being an afterthought in a tag team match on this card. I feel like it was a real disservice done to Darby Allin. He is the skater boy, and AEW said, see you later, boy, on this one. So a very, very good tag team match here. The finish comes when Khan is in the ring, not Tony, Bishop, and Orange Cassidy hits a Stun Dog Millionaire, the suplex reversal into a stunner, and holds Khan down in the seated position so Darby Allin can perform a Code Red on Khan. Then Orange Cassidy takes out Toa Leona with a suicide dive, Tope Suicida, while Darby Allin hits the coffin drop on Bishop Khan for the win. So at least Darby Allin got a big W on this show, but he had to say something. He had to do something to MJF, or at least a cardboard cut out of MJF. Just address it, guy. Post-match, Swerve, Prince Nana, and Brian Cage walk to the ring. They're about to attack Darby and Orange when Sting's music hits. It's Steve Borden! And the Icon Sting makes his way to the ring. The Crow Sting is back, and the Mogul Embassy and affiliates, or whatever they are called now, they retreat. They swerve out of the way. Swerve Strickland never taking his eyes off the prize, in this case, the AEW International Championship. So Sting is back, and kind of looks like we're going to get Swerve, Cage, and someone, some kind of trios match. Maybe just, I don't know. We'll figure it out, but Sting will be back in the ring, teaming with Darby Allin and perhaps Orange Cassidy against Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, and A Gate of Agony? I don't know. MJF backstage promo successfully defends his world title at Double or Nothing, like he said he would. The clock is ticking on the bidding war of 2024. AEW is running out of competition. There are no more gladiators left for MJF to slay. And he is the best, you see. No one's as good as him. We know it. And no one is on the level of the devil. So you've seen this MJF promo before. I love MJF. I think he's excellent. So I liked this quite a bit. But I do think it's clear as day with a giant neon highlighter. They're pointing to Punk versus MJF with Punk trying to save the title. Unlike what he tried to do in 2011, taking the title away. Another in-ring promo here, Tony Schiavone with the Fuck the World champion, the FTW champion, Hook. Hook comes to the ring. I was excited to see an in-ring Hook promo, but of course he didn't say anything. Schiavone started to talk, and then La Facción Ingobernable interrupts Jose the Assistant, Drillistico, and Pero Peligroso, Preston Vance, were the members here. They were the ones to interrupt Hook, to try to attack him. Jose did a good job, actually, on this promo, although it wouldn't have been what I would have chosen. This worked out pretty well. Jose says that this is what they have to do to get an opportunity on television. They have to interrupt people, and Roosh would be here, but he is too dangerous to be on TV. Whatever that means, is that supposed to mean there's a secret suspension happening for Roosh? We don't know. Anyway, so the dogs, as it were, the Perros, they surround the ring. They're about to attack Hook, but who should come out? But the Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, the Jungle Lad himself, he makes the save, wearing all black, by the way, growing a little beard, by the way. Take note, the heel turn is coming soon, but it's not here yet. Jungle Boy with a chair, makes the save, takes out Preston Vance, and Dralístico with this chair, while Jose runs into the ring and eats the Tazplex from Hook. So Jungle Boy wearing all black with a chair standing next to Hook. We all see where that's going. Jungle Boy is going to hit Hook with a chair one day, and that will be a feud, hopefully to elevate Hook a little bit and to test out Jungle Lad as a heel. So I liked it. I liked this a fair bit, and I was quite impressed with Jose's work on this night. Good job by Jose, thine assistant. Canadian legend Renee Paquette backstage with your AEW's women's champion, Tony Storm. Also, the rest of the outcasts, Saraya and Ruby Soho. Tony Storm's cutting some awesome promos as a heel. I think she has more value to wrestling as a babyface. I think she could be like the number one Hulk Hogan, John Cena type babyface of a wrestling promotion. I really do think she has that level of potential. But if you're going to use her as a heel, she's kicking ass on these heel promos. Tony Storm, like a shithead, like a bastard would, like a bitch would, said that luck had nothing to do with her title, and she traveled all over the world to get to this point. It had nothing to do with Jamie Hayter's injury. They put Jamie Hayter out of business themselves. So Ruby Soho also praises Tony Storm's work ethic. She's been a wrestler since she was a kid, and the only lucky ones here are not the outcast, but they are the AEW fans. So yeah, a fun little promo from heel Tony Storm and crew. I like this a lot. She should be the leader of this crew, and she's kind of taken that crown from Saraya. And I think it's whether an on-purpose decision or something that just kind of happened, I think it's the best outcome for everyone. Next up, for the TBS title, Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose. I like Nyla Rose, but again, a weird choice for Chris's first opponent, because we just know what the outcome is going to be. We haven't seen Nyla in so long on Dynamite either. It's kind of not very exciting as a match, but I guess it's a good choice because I'm sure they've wrestled a lot before, Statlander and Nyla. So it makes sense that Stat would work with a familiar opponent here. And again, it's not a bad thing to see Nyla Rose on our television. Just another weird choice here by AEW, but we will take it. Chris Statlander versus Nyla Rose for the TBS title. Probably the worst match on the show, but that's just because Statlander hasn't had a match since January of 2022 on Dynamite. So it's been a long ass time, 18 months since we've seen the Long Island Alien here on our wrestling Dynamite program. A little bit of ring rust, but that's fine. Chris Statlander didn't look hesitant But just, you know, it just takes a while to get back into the groove, especially with the absolutely high standard of work in AEW. When you are kind of just getting back into the groove, it does stand out a little bit. But this was an okay match overall. I would say it was pretty average. It wasn't bad. Chris Statlander wins this one with a 450 splash, and Taya Valkyrie does not look impressed in the back. So Taya Valkyrie, not Jade Cargill, looking on at Chris Statlander. Taya Valkyrie is the one who still wants this TBS title, not the woman who got screwed out of it by her own manager and her own fault. But still, like, Jade should be pissed off as well, no? Am I wrong? Anyway, we saw Taya Valkyrie watching on while Chris Statlander defeats Nyla Rose with a 450 splash to retain the TBS title. So yeah, average match, not bad, not particularly good. We're going to go 2.5 right on the line, 2.5 ALFs out of 5 for the alien life form, Chris Statlander. Which brings us to our main event. I like this much more than Jericho versus Adam Cole on the pay-per-view. I thought that match was bad, actively bad. This was good. This was a fun main event. It was a mixed tag team match. Adam Cole and Dr. Britt Baker versus Chris Jericho and Saraya. Adam Cole is having a cursed run in AEW. Cursed is the word I would use for it. A horrible concussion. A really poor match with Chris Jericho. One of both of their worst, most disappointing pay-per-view matches in their entire career. And it says a lot that a slightly bad, slightly disappointing two-star match is one of their worst performances. That means they're both really good. But it was. Adam Cole's had a horrible injury, pretty bad showing in his last match. And here his theme song didn't work, unless it was my TSN cutting out. It seemed like Adam Cole, his theme song started and then cut out for a second and then started again, completely killing his pop for the night. So yeah, I cursed Adam Cole, poor guy. But he was in a mixed tag team match against Chris Jericho and Saraya, and it was quite good overall. A fun main event, I would say for sure. We saw some mid to late match shenanigans. Chris Jericho distracts the referee. Ruby Soho and Toni Storm run out to triple team the doctor, the good doctor, Britt Baker. But Hikaru Shida with a kendo stick makes the save. The problem with kendo sticks for the next 2 or 3 weeks is that I'm always going to remember Dijak versus Dragunov and them just disintegrating a couple of kendo sticks on each other. And kendo stick shots will always look a little weak from this point forward, but especially in the next couple of weeks while that taste of that crazy Dragunov Dijak match is still in our mouths. Anyway, Hikaru Shida makes the save with the Sandman style kendo stick. Finish of this match was a lot of fun as well. Britt Baker puts on the glove and gets a lockjaw in on Chris Jericho for a huge reaction. I would have loved that to be the finish and Jericho taps. But Saraya breaks that up. Adam Cole looks for a super kick on Chris Jericho, but Jericho turns it into a quick code breaker. That was a good near fall. Double clothesline after the code breaker for Jericho and Adam Cole. Saraya reverses a Dr. Britt Baker neck breaker. A Dr. Britt breaker? No, not that. Not that at all. Saraya turns that move into her cradle DDT, Conan's old finisher. She used to call it the Rampage. I believe now it's the Good Night. I always forget what she calls it. I think it's Good Night, but it's just such a nothing happening name. Anyway, so Saraya hits Good Night on Dr. Britt Baker. Fucking brains this poor lady in the middle of the ring. That looked like it really, really hurt. Jericho grabs Floyd the baseball bat and takes a swing at Britt Baker, which was a heck of a spot. But Adam Cole super kicks him mid-swing. And then it is an Adam Cole and Britt Baker super kick party on Chris Jericho. They super kick the shit out of this man. And Adam Cole hits the boom, the shining wizard, to the back of the head to get the win and triumphantly pose like Randy Savage and Elizabeth at the end of WrestleMania, I guess the middle of WrestleMania 7, to end this show. So Dr. Britt Baker and Adam Cole win was a pretty good match. I think you'd have to call it a win. We'll go 3 stars, 3 Elizabeths, 3 Elizabeth out of 5 for this one. It's all at sea in Canada. A bit of fun to end a Dynamite show. That wasn't the best overall, but you know what? Dynamite is always good. Like I said, it's better than Velocity. It's better than Shotgun Saturday Night. It's an okay night to watch a wrestling show. Wednesday night Dynamite usually always is pretty solid. So we won't keep you for too much longer, but Friday's AEW Rampage show. That is Friday, June the 2nd, 2023. We have a triple threat match for the AEW Mega Championship. Hio Del Vikingo versus Commander versus Dralístico. That should be really good. Willow Nightingale defends her strong women's title, New Japan Strong. Their women's title, I think this is her first defense, and she is going against Emi Sakura. So that's an interesting match. Zack Sabre Jr. defends the New Japan television title against Action Andretti. Remember him? Boy, there's another one who did not get followed up on. And for the Ring of Honor Pure title, Katsuyori Shibata versus Lee Moriarty. So the wrestler Shibata on Rampage, that's awesome. So if you count New Japan Strong as a different promotion from New Japan, we have four different promotions, four different title matches, none of which AEW, here on AEW Rampage. Let's go. Next week on Dynamite, we have Ricky Starks versus Jay White with Juice and FTR banned from ringside. Interesting match there. I don't know. I think Jay White has to win. Jay White cannot afford a loss here. Jay White should be pushed at this point stronger than Ricky Starks. I think he's not to bury Ricky Starks, who's a great wrestler doing a great job, but I think Jay White is just better at all things and should be higher on the card, just the way it is at this moment in their careers. So Ricky Starks versus Jay White with all haters and well-wishers banned from ringside. Also, Orange Cassidy versus Swerve for the international title. This might be the one. This might be the one. Although I hope it's CM Punk who takes it off him in Chicago at Collision. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. Thank you all very much for sticking with me here. We're going to see if it's always solo. Maybe I'll have Boris, a regular tag team partner after pay-per-views. But I'm going to want to do like a state of AEW address after all pay-per-views. Perhaps it'll be a solo venture. We're going to see. Anyway, keep it locked here at Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by TotalSportsCards.com, Canada's number one stop for all WWE, UFC, NHL, NFL, and NBA hobby boxes. That is TotalSportsCards.com. And we got daily wrestling podcasts for you here at Sunday Night's Main Event. It really helps if you subscribe to our Patreon, only $5 a month. And, you know, it helps us keep the lights on here. We really appreciate your support. If you do, we are Sunday Night's Main Event. The big homie Boris Aguilar on the radio, holding down the mothership, the main show, coming at you worldwide via the iHeartRadio app and also Canada-wide via TSN Radio. Boris breaks down all the biggest news stories of the week with the great Chris Van Vliet and a whole cast of experts, personalities, wrestling icons of the past, present, and future. And on Mondays, we have an extended version of that show on Patreon, exclusive for our patrons. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Tuesdays, we're reviewing Raw. We have the Draw Straw Raw review, which is a fun format. That might change down the road, but right now we're no one wants to watch Raw, so we draw straws for it. On Wednesdays, we have the NXT review with Steve Swift, the best in the business. Love that man. Love those reviews. On Thursday, we have this here fine program, AEW Dynamite Deep Dive. There's old friends and new friends and even a bear. Okay, on Fridays we have BAM. That's me and Boris talking a little bit of sports and previewing the big wrestling shows of the weekend. It's where you get your pay-per-view previews, some debates, some fun and games, top five lists, etc. That's where we stretch our legs, Boris and I, and just kind of shoot the shit. We always talk sports, though. I love talking sports with Boris. Saturdays, Lord Thunder and Jesus by the Smack Daddies. Sometimes laid back, sometimes fired up perspective on the professional wrestling from the Maritimes. They also, they cover some pay-per-views for us as well, and we love their contributions. The Smack Daddies, check out their show. Rampage Ramble with Boris and Dax. Also on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with Collision. We might even mash together Rampage and Collision as a weekend show when that starts. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. Our intro song is also our outro song. It is MJF's theme song. Fun fact, it's a free-use song on YouTube. You know, feel free to pump it at weddings or bar mitzvahs. That's going to do it for me today. My name is Matthew Ederer. I'm on Facebook and Insta, but not Twitter. Feel free to find me on social media until we all quit all of those as well. Thank you for listening, everyone. To quote the great Brody Lee, yeah.